on 1116 SEN. Nigel Carmody for Squires Loft Essendon, the stakes specialists.
How are you, Nigel?
Hey, Finey. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Quiet day in footy.
Well, it's tell you what, it wasn't a quiet day down at Recklink. A couple of three more great games.
Yeah, the grand final day at the Peanut Farm.
Yesterday and today and tomorrow, I've completed my duties, two games umpiring, and got through unscathed this year, which was very good.
Very good.
As I said, in game one, which was the one that I did yesterday between Casey and Cardinia, that went right down to the wire. They tried to knock the tattoos off each other. And let me tell you, there were plenty of opportunities on both teams, but it was a fierce game, as grand finals should be, and it was a great result for the Cats.
Recklink and your involvement in it have been doing magnificent things for the community for many, many years. Just quickly on our friendly supporters, Greenfields Albert Park, Father's Day, they have a $20,000 hole in one competition. We'll give you a few more details on that later on, but no better way to celebrate the first Sunday in September than putting one in for 20 grand.
Have you ever had a hole in one?
No. I recent round of golf, I put one to about, I think it was measured at 80 centimetres.
Yeah, I reckon the closest I've been is about 9 inches, 7 to 9 inches on the second at Huntingdale.
The problem
or Metropolitan.
My mentality walking to every par three I ever play is, this is the hole.
Now, Richie Hummerston, a sports bet, and Richie's here thanks to sports bet, build a multi in the same game or across the round, as we proved a couple of weeks ago. It can be done. Gamble responsibly, though. Have you ever hit a hole-in-one, Richie?
I haven't. Actually, a couple of months ago now, we had a hole-in-one challenge at Albert Park right there. We had Mark Allen come and host it. We had about 300 punters come down, and we had about 1,200 shots at it. Not a single person got it. One bloke put it about 6 inches. But after 1,200 shots, we still couldn't get it off. We actually tried to insure it for $1 million, and the insurers gave it a 4-in-1 chance.
Really?
Yeah. So it stuffed that. So we put up 25 grand ourselves, and you know, it didn't go. We wanted it to go off as well, because it would have made some. You know, we had the film crews there and stuff, and just no one could. I mean, one bloke got close, but no one could drain it. Mark Allen had a few shots; he was nowhere.
I've seen somebody thin a hole in one at Albert Park
on the second.
Yeah, on the second.
Yeah, along the lake there.
I don't know who it was. It was the group in front of us. Yeah, it was the second hole. The one with the, it's got a
slightly elevated tee and green.
That's right. And we were waiting to play on the second, and this guy just absolutely thinned it. It travelled no more than 20 metres in the air, but it just bounced.
Bouncing.
And it just hit the pin, and they gave it the old death rattle of the flag. And I was pretty sure it was in. I could see that there was no ball on the green, but he had to run. He sort of chased it up there. and his mates were giving him absolutely no credit for it whatsoever.
You can still claim it. When I was a young...
He was claiming it.
It's a results-based business.
He had no problems claiming it. They were bagging the life out of him.
I was with as a young fella at Wattle Park Golf Course, which is very short. There's a par four. And I was just me and my brother were very young, and we were with this older guy who, on the par four, he got his driver out, rolled all the way into the hole. It was a hole in one, and because he didn't have any friends, he'd call up all of his friends. We had to speak to them and guarantee that he'd got this hole in one. And then he bought us a soft drink at the end of it. It wasn't a bottle of whiskey, but a bottle of Mountain Dew at the end.
Quite the man. The best hole in one I've ever seen. Was watching on TV, obviously. It was a couple of years ago when the three-way playoff, and there was an Aussie in that playoff. Imagine getting to a three-way playoff, and I reckon it was Chris Bird. He just hit it straight in, and the other two are looking at each other. And it was, the Aussie was, his name will come to me, but he's an irregular player on the USPGA, and it would have made a career difference to him had he won that USPGA event, and he never really had a chance to go for it.
You wouldn't even bother teeing off after that, would you?
Well, they did. Larry Myers, Greg Norman stuff. Yeah. Throw the club, moving on.
Well, they sort of did, but, I'll tell you who went very close to doing that was the man that I failed to identify last time he was at SEN a month ago. I was watching Richard Green in it's the Paul Laurie match play. Very strange. In Germany.
Got his own tournament.
Yeah, Germany.
Despite the fact that he's a Scot.
Yeah, explain that one to me. And I was watching Richard Green playing in, what would have been, Oh, no, it was Marcus Fraser. Sorry, it was Marcus Fraser, not Richard Green. Marcus Fraser, the man who I failed to identify, didn't let him in at the front door at SEN. He was here for chasing birdies a month ago.
Marcus from Uber Eats.
And I said, who are you? He said, oh, I'm here to do chasing birdies.
He's a very humble man.
Craig Spence. And I said, doesn't help me. You have a name?
Cam Percy.
Cam Percy. He never even got a chance to shoot it. This guy just went back. And I reckon he hit it, got it on the fly. But playing in match play, two to go, one up, whatever that situation is. And he's hit the pin. He's gone within an inch. The guy he was playing with just looked at him. Mm. Some surly Spaniard.
I think Richard Green had a hole-in-one on the par four at 13th Beach in a Vic Open a couple of years ago. Someone probably correct me on that. But I remember that making some pretty big news as well. All jokes aside, and Dustin Martin's confirmation pending. Aside from that,
confirmation. Yeah. How old is he? Just turned a year and a bit, did he?
Big news. Otherwise, Steve Hocking, a massive appointment for the AFL today, is general manager of football.
Yeah,
huge get.
Yeah, and obviously, it was the shake-up that the AFL didn't plan to have. But I think people are pretty comfortable that a football person, when I say football person, no slur on anybody that's held the job previously, but with a resume like that that stretches all the way back to the 1989 grand final and collecting Dermot Brereton. Now there's football pedigree, and he knows it from both sides of the fence. They're highly respected.
Which might mean that if one of his early tasks is reviewing the match review panel and its current system, that he's probably got some experience to call upon. But I think significantly, he spent time in obviously Geelong's football department, then went into the head of commercial role at the Cats and has had a huge role in the redevelopment of Simmons Stadium, moved back into the football department in the last couple of years and has been a driving force behind them being a perennial contender, the Dangerfield deal and other things aside. So a wonderful appointment for the game, and I think he'll be able to work really well in tandem with the existing executive.
I'm on the second big football announcement. The one that Richmond supporters will say is the biggest announcement of all.
Dion Prestia's ankle?
though not absolutely franked as official, it's pretty official, a seven-year deal for Dustin Martin to remain a Tiger, from everybody from my 10-year-old daughter, who absolutely said it right yesterday in the car on the way home. Oh, she's a clever kid, and she said, I'd be really disappointed. This is exactly what she said. I'd be really disappointed if he left just because a club was paying him more money, because when he started, he was only a kid, and we made him good, and he made us good. So he should stay with us, which is really the philosophy that most football fans view their star players as, a symbiotic relationship. Player, club, club, player.
Yeah, I think the relationships, from what I understand, that he's been able to form with the likes of Trent Cotchin, no doubt would have been central to that eventual decision. And Richmond are in the best state they've ever been in his tenure as a player there, so it would have made less sense for him to leave, I suppose, if the numbers are relatively similar. But as we know, every player's got different mechanics for the decision-making. With my AFL player agent hat on, I'd sprinkle some I don't know, insight onto the numbers. Whatever they are and whatever they're reported, I don't think really matters. The fact of the matter is, we know he's going to be well paid. Let's not get caught up in what he could have got elsewhere. He's going to be really well paid. To put it in context, if it is anywhere near what's been reported early on, that's about 10% of your salary cap, remembering that's going to keep going up year on year. So the number in raw senses sounds like a lot of money, and it is, particularly in relative terms to what all three of us in this studio and everyone listening earns. But there's certainly still more than enough to go around for Richmond to continue to build their list over the coming years. So no concerns there. And effectively, it's a 150-game contract. He becomes a Richmond player for life. And I guess the measuring stick at the moment, I guess, for these long-term deals for me is Franklin. And right now, that's looking like a pretty shrewd decision. I'm sure Richmond fans hope that at the midpoint of this deal that's been reported, they've got similar output.
How old is he right now?
26.
How old's Dustin?
33. I'm only guessing, but he feels like he's 26. Mm. I'll tell you this. We are very quick in the media.
26-6-91, so turned 26 mid-season.
Yeah. And he's in the prime of his career. He is very, very difficult to stop, whether you are on him or whether you are playing him from a distance. I'd like to know what tactics clubs are going to employ during the finals. Man on man, run him down. It's just, you know, he's perfected the art of fending off. He's perfected the art of a half turn out of trouble. He's as powerful a player in the game as there is at the moment. And he probably is, of all the top midfielders going around, he, Dangerfield, are the two that can kill you on the scoreboard. But I get a sense that Paddy Dangerfield can get you on the scoreboard when he goes forward. Dustin Martin can get you on the scoreboard from the midfield. And that's a little bit different. You know, he can peel off goals while he's playing in the middle. So just in that Richmond St Kilda game, I know St Kilda's not up to final standard, and fair enough, they'll be playing better teams. But when the rest of the Richmond team was playing with a great deal of confidence, you sort of felt, well, can St Kilda stop these blokes? But that was separate to the issue with Martin. It's like they had two bushfires going on and the cause one almighty fire front when it was all working together in the first and last quarters. And that is, the team's playing confidently, but, you know, man on man, you should be able to be accountable. And then the other problem is that this guy's on fire and he's playing brilliantly and we can't stop him. And together, it becomes irresistible. They should be very excited about the finals, Richmond. I want to know this, Richie. On the back of the news today, did Richmond shorten?
For the premiership?
Yep. And for the game against the Cats?
They have, actually. They've come in 25 cents. So they were at $6.25 at the start of the day, now into $6. So they've actually been, of the last fortnight, the best-backed side, Richmond. For the premiership, that is.
9-4-2-9-11-16. It is a huge football decision, one that I think probably just pushes Josh Kelly closer to signing for GWS as well. I mean, they have been bracketed all year and they are separate situations, but unless Josh has pressing business getting out of GWS, why would he? He seems like a loyal kid who's happy at the club, so with Mitch McGovern off the books as well today, Nige?
Well, it's interesting 24 hours finding, then you raise Josh Kelly's name. I personally, again, talking about my 9-to-5 job, so to speak, but I find it good for, I guess, public faith in players holding off, so to speak, or at least letting their contract run the course of the season to make a decision in their own time. And the fact that these guys are staying, I think, is a good thing for people to perhaps be a little bit more open-minded and maybe not so pessimistic when a player hasn't perhaps signed past July that everyone thinks, oh, he is gone, that it's not necessarily the case and players are going to be considered and, again, make a decision in their own time for their own reasons.
There's a real sense, and maybe, I don't know, this is cause to rejoice or not, I'm not quite sure, that football loyalty is going to win out at the end of 2017 on various fronts. It's, I think it's a good thing. Maybe not so if you're down the bottom of the ladder and looking to climb up with some rapidity, like North Melbourne were going for the, you know, the masterstroke of recruiting genius, but I think it's a good thing.
It's great, but it's also not to be at the detriment of player movement as well, because any club supporter out there will look back on history and say there have been times where we've benefited either from us letting a player go or being able to bring players in, and if we shut it all down and say, well, who you get drafted with is who you're going to play your career with, we'd have a fairly boring, docile competition.
And boring's the word. I love trade period, and I think that there's room for it in the middle of the season.
Well, it's not so much that. It's a mechanism for your team to improve, and that is really important. And the competitive balance elements that exist in our game, a draft and a salary cap, by and large, have worked, because any club supporter, bar the Suns at this stage, can say in the last 20 years, we've been to the last four. We've had a shot. And I think that's really important.
Now, every Thursday night with league teams, we proudly are brought to you by Alan Mance Motors, driving satisfaction since 1978. Call Alan Mance on 1-800-ALAN-MANCE. And, of course, a sports bet with all the intel that our man Richie H gives us. And, Richie, I expect to still be getting some nuggets of pearls of wisdom. How about some things around Richmond and Dusty and Geelong? And I know that the form guide says Geelong beat Richmond
13 times. And we got right behind Richmond last time as well.
You wouldn't have you wouldn't have been shaving the last time Richmond beat Geelong.
No, correct. But I do have, I've got the Bible to me, next to me, so I do still have some gems, because we're not on next week, because the footy gets in the way of league teams. So I thought I'd bring in a few little gems just to cast out today with the punters, because we've been going very well. So over the course of the next 45 minutes or so, I'll make sure we get them out there.
Oh, we're not on next Thursday, but I'd keep you Wednesday free at 7 o'clock. No, there's no rest for the wicked, and Richie, you and I are wicked. Let's go to our callers. Gary's in Wattle Glen, and plenty of people want to have their say on the smiles all around at Richmond. Dustin Martin, 7 more years. Well, basically, one club for one man. Gary, you're up.
G'day, Mark. It's been a little while. I'm sorry I haven't called, but and Mr. Carmody, how are you?
Well, and all, Mr. Hummerston as well.
Sorry.
The Humvee.
You're right, Gary.
I'm a North supporter, and I'm quite retrospectable about this whole situation with Dustin Martin. North have never had a big name player paid a huge amount of money for a number of years. And you know what? We just battle along. We do the job. We've been in quite a few finals. And I'm really happy to live that way and with North. And it's exciting to watch the new players come up. And who's to say there won't be a player that's in those new boys that could do what Dustin Martin has done. And
spot on.
Brilliant philosophy, Gary. You're looking at it in particularly the right light for a North Melbourne supporter tonight. You've got to be glass half full. And the fact of the matter is, given you're now not going to be using up the salary cap space that was being reported on Dustin Martin, one, you've got some weapons to take to the marketplace to see what you can get. And that's not even necessarily this year. That might be over the next couple of years of trade and free agency, but also I think it's a really important point that it's going to open up opportunities for hopefully Brad Scott, now reappointed, to continue to bank games into some of his young talent. And you take a high pick to this year's draft, and in what is a reasonably even top end of the draft, that's a pretty juicy thing for North Melbourne and their list management team to have at their disposal.
Great call, Gary. Hang on to the line. New York Minute Burger, $50 voucher coming your way, located Mooney Ponds, Williamstown, Faraday Street, Carlton, Lygon Street in Brunswick, and High Point. Keep an eye out for South Melbourne, Coventry Street coming soon. And why don't you get the pastrami on a bun? It is New York in a bag. It really is beautiful. The beautiful smoked pastrami. I love it. Robin Mooney Ponds is... Don't worry about Mooney Ponds. Rob may as well be from Punt Road. I know Rob. He must be tickled pink. How are you, mate?
Hi, how you going, Mark? I'm well. Very excited, but happy. I mean, more relieved, I suppose, than anything else.
There you go. There's the word.
Yeah. Relieved. That's the right word. Look, you know, we all know how good he is and how good he's been this year. And, you know, if he continues to improve, you know, like he has over the last 3 years, I mean, he'll probably go down in history as, you know, one of the all-time greats of any club, let alone Richmond. He's just a fantastic player, and like you said, he drags all his teammates along for the ride and the improvement with the whole group and the confidence that they've got. I can see Richmond being Geelong, and then, you know, I would expect to play GWS, you know, in a prelim and beat them, and then we're grand final day. Whoever makes it there, whether it be Sydney or Adelaide or maybe even Geelong, it's gonna be a great day.
Gee, that's going from boiled lollies to chocolates. No finals win since Danny Frawley was coaching, and I believe that they can beat Geelong at the MCG. Can being the operative word, not will as a matter of course, but can beat them. And what happens thereafter, of course, is in the hands of the football gods. But I'll tell you, Rob, what will be discussed for whoever wins that first final will be the fact that they won't have played a lot of football in 3 or 4 weeks. And
what is that one in 27 days?
That becomes effective. Richmond, I went through the 8 teams. We might do the exercise, the 3 of us. Coming into these finals with a week off that we're enjoying in inverted commas this weekend. I'm enjoying it. Which teams were well-served and which weren't. So we're going to take a break And when we come back, continue to take calls, but also go through the eight finalists and with Nigel Carmody and Richie Hummerston's expert eyes cast over the eight teams, which teams were happy to have a bit of a breather and which teams probably were less impressed by taking time off. Just before we do go to the break, I want to ask you one more question as you put your managerial hat on a couple of times. There's a very good St Kilda player who hasn't re-signed, I believe he's in the process of doing, that I think has a new manager. Is that correct with Dylan Robertson?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he's a very important player to St Kilda, whose value steepled this year.
All-Australian nominee.
Yeah, very good footballer. And I hope he's not upset that we're moving away from Seaford, because it was he's the one guy, Frankston based, that was rapt that we were in Seaford. So it's not that far up the highway there, Dylan. Just once you pop in the car, you put on SEN and you'll be in Moorabbin before you know it. A break, and when we come back, more calls and the week off. Who it favours and who it doesn't. Oh, welcome back, 11:16 SEN. Of course, not only are we looking at football in various wonderful forms tonight, and you can join in, be part of the discussion right throughout the evening. Plenty of great prizes to be won. And also, we value your opinion. But also, there is a huge World Cup qualification game, of course, for the Socceroos taking on Japan. Results went the Socceroos' way, with Saudi Arabia coughing up an early lead against the Emiratis. And that means that if Australia win this game, they are headed for Russia and their fourth consecutive World Cup finals. A draw would be not as good, but satisfactory, because then they would only... Well, when I say only, they would need to beat Thailand, who they failed to beat the first time around in Thailand. But in Melbourne, one would think that the powerful Socceroos would be able to beat Thailand. So a win, please. A draw, okay. A loss, nervous times.
Well, the punters aren't tipping him, though.
What? Well, look, it is a Japanese home game. They are pretty powerful.
80% of the cash in the head-to-head markets have been on Japan. They're into $1.75, which is pretty short. Australia $5, which they were $4.40. So they continue to go out. Everyone's going off, and the draw's paying $3.50. But it's a tough, tough ask against Japan over there.
Now, I'm, again, gamble responsibly, but that draw suits both teams in a way. Oh, gee, $3.50 for a draw.
Yeah, got a lot of time. What time does it kick off? 8:30. So you've still got just under an hour to get on. And if you do get on, actually, we've got... We always talk about it on SEN, but we've got these. You can request your own bets. It's called BYO Socceroos. So you can jump on Twitter and request your very own bet, whatever you want. So I'm just looking at one now. One of them is red card to Japan keeper, and then the penalty will be missed. $21. So you can get on there. Request
21? I'll give you longer odds than that.
This BYO business.
21 had, for the red card to the keeper.
You had that running Sunday for Mayweather-McGregor.
Did
you get some absurd stuff?
Some absolute absurd bets. And bets are people getting on. One of them was...
That they'd knock each other out at the same time.
One of them for $501 was one of the boxers to come out wearing a Melbourne Storm jersey. And we had 60 bets on it. So I don't get it.
Did anyone try and use the BYO feature on the undercard and say that Javonta Davis was going to come out dressed like the Cookie Monster? Because that certainly did some ground on social media as
did
well.
Did it ever.
I'm going to think of my own bet. So I can just come up with a bet.
Any bet you want. You can
Australia, Japan.
Yep. I'll flick it across. I'll get them to do it while we're on the show. I'll make sure they get it up in time for the start of the
All right, what the price whistle. The game is called off because of a nuclear threat from North Korea during the game.
All right. I will get that up. I will type that up in the break.
So before 90 minutes, they all leave the pitch under threat
because
from Pyongyang.
Of nuclear threat. Yeah. Done. I'll get that priced up for you. And that will be on market. And then if you're listening, you can jump on and bet.
Oh, that is fantastic. The Pyongyang game won't go 90 minutes bet. Well, I'm looking for value. Let's go to callers. Look, the good news is I won the bet. The bad news is we've all got 6 hours to live. let's go to COVID. And I've got a six-year-old kid hanging on the line. I'm only joking. Let's go to Sam in Bundoora. Are you there, Sam?
Yes.
How are you, Sam?
Good.
Don't worry about all that soccer stuff. That was just us having fun. Let's talk about footy. And I've got a feeling you're barrack for Richmond.
No, I'm barrack for Collingwood.
Oh, dear.
I'm happy you signed.
Hey.
But I'm happy you signed.
All right, you tell your dad. You tell your dad you're a Collingwood supporter. And now, don't ask your dad, are you really happy you signed? Would you have liked Dustin Martin to come to Collingwood?
Yes.
So you would rather he signed for the Magpies. You know what? I reckon Collingwood, in this trade period, I reckon they might be going after, well, they would love another key forward, but I've got a feeling that they might try and get a big forward from somebody. Who would you like from another club? There's a bloke in Brisbane called Shacky. Would you like him? You can answer this one, Dad.
No, he said he'd prefer Lynch.
Yeah, well, we know what we'd prefer. Would you take the love, Shacky?
He actually rang up because he was quite happy Dusty signed, but he wants to know whether Scott Pendlebury would stay for life. That's what he was very concerned over, that the Pendles might leave Collingwood.
Now, here's the good news, Sam. Do you know what the good news is?
What?
A, Pendles is going to stay for life. B, you don't have to get Pendle's tattoos because he doesn't have any. And C, you've got midfielders like Treloar and Adams and Crisp that even when Scott retires, you'll be an old man then, about 10 years old, you're still going to have a great midfield. And Darcy Moore will just be coming into his prime, Brodie Grundy. Hey, do you play footy?
Hang on. I do.
No, not your dad, you. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you more a Jeremy Howe type of footballer or a Jared Blair type of footballer? Do you like going for the big marks or do you like snapping goals?
Marks.
Yeah, spectacular type man. All righty. Well, hang on to the line. And my man Carl, who's a sucker for a high-flying six-year-old, has a box of footy cards for you. They're from AFL Team Zone. They're in the lime green packets. There's 36 of them, and having given those away, I'm almost certain to get calls from more kids and their dads.
How good the footy card. I grew up with footy stickers. Footy stickers were the one.
Yeah, I remember the old footy stickers. I'm a footy card. My first set of footy cards were in 1972, and I can remember players from every set thereafter.
Were you the kid? There was always one kid in every school that used to always get the set before anyone else because his parents were just buying packet after packet. And I was the kid who used to get all these spares. And you just come around with a shoebox every year with just full of spares because he'd already collected them.
Do you know who I was? I was the kid that would make the school ban football cards.
What a surprise. What a surprise.
Two or three times I got them. Right, this is now out of control. There's swapping during lessons. They're in the corridor. I knew you couldn't swap during a class, but I was, you know, so frantic to get the deal done. And back in 1973, and anybody old enough to remember the 73 set knows that Vinwaite B was underproduced.
Is there a trade that sticks in your mind? One trade that you remember?
Oh, Vinwaite B. People were going to extraordinary lengths to get Vinwaite B.
Did you have him or you wanted him?
I didn't have him. I'd had to... As I said, I've got trading cards banned because I needed him.
Why am I not surprised? Hey, no, we're not doing teams tonight, but some soccer news. No Aaron Moy tonight for the Socceroos.
You're kidding.
That's jam out of donut stuff.
No Aaron Moy.
Ill.
Oh, now I'm ill.
Should have had that sashimi. They said don't do it, and he did it.
I should have
ignored him.
I should have asked for Aaron. The exotic bet. Moy out ill.
Mm.
What's he eating?
Well, sashimi.
As Richie said, not to be highly stereotypical.
Yeah, I've got a feeling he's been fugued. Well, let's go to Colin in Werribee. G'day, Colin.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, mate.
I'm a Hawthorne supporter. I am wrapped at Dusty signs because you don't see loyalty from too many players this day. I'm hoping Kelly signs for the Giants because we miss loyalty from players in football. Hawthorn's had all their players pretty much be loyal to the club. Franklin got the Godfather offer, but I was happy he's playing well. So congratulations, Dusty. I hope you win a play for Richmond this year, and that hurts me to say.
Yeah, I think what would have been, all right, in this order, and Colin, well said. Well said, because everybody deep down loves the idea of a true club champion staying with the club. And by the way, we should make comment here. Now, in society, we are so quick to tar people with a brush and go to the old saying, a leopard doesn't change its spots, and you only need look at Nick Kyrgios, and again, people are saying, standard behaviour after the loss to John Millman, and he'll never change, etc. Dustin Martin, ahead of his previous contract with Richmond, was supposedly, and I think it's pretty accurately, offered around the AFL, and no club was willing to take a risk on a young man viewed to be problematic off-field with the sort of baggage that could come back to haunt a club. Basically, 17 clubs were not that keen to explore Dustin Martin. Within the period of one contract, he's become the most valuable player in the AFL. So he has matured. He has improved his football. He has done nothing to make anybody believe that he's a handful at the club or away from the club, and he now reaps the benefits of growing up with the Richmond Football Club and becoming not only the complete footballer or the complete midfielder, but also a maturing man.
Well said,
it can happen.
Can I debunk this loyalty in footy myth? I know we had a little bite at it earlier on. Ron Barassi, as the premiership captain and reigning best and fairest of Melbourne, left to become captain coach of Carlton in 1964. That's 53 years ago. Since then, we had the 10-year rule in footy, which saw a number of players move. In the 80s, we had the wars between Richmond and Collingwood that saw players going up and down Hoddle Street for incredible sums of money. And then, obviously, with the expansion of the national competition, the introduction of a draft, clubs doing better list management, we've continued to see plenty of player movement. The difference is now it plays out before our eyes a little bit more publicly than it once did. But I'm telling you what, it's been going on for a long time.
Nigel, in the 1890s, there was one champion player. Seriously, there was a superstar in football. His name was Pete Burns. In fact, kids used to go to bed in Geelong saying, God bless me, my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, and Pete Burns. He was actually from Ballarat, but Ballarat failed to get a team in the then VFA, so he moved to Geelong. The clubs from the city came calling, and they came calling with big money, and I'm talking about big money in those days. Can you imagine in the 1890s offering somebody £50 a game to play football?
Extraordinary sum of money.
That was what was being offered, and Essendon was the club that made the biggest offer. So he
what was that as a percentage of the salary cap in the 1890s?
It was a fair percentage of the suburb. But Pete Burns boarded a train from Geelong to Essendon, to the city of Melbourne, and then on to Essendon, which was considered a little rural at that stage, to take up an offer to play for Essendon. Somewhere along that train trip, a very intrepid and insightful South Melbourne official jumped on the train and into his carriage, and somewhere between Geelong and Melbourne convinced Pete Burns that his future was at the Lakeside Oval, not at what was then Essendon's home ground, which was East Melbourne. So he became a South Melbourne player, and in 1896... there was a game between South Melbourne and Geelong called the Pete Burns game, where he played for South Melbourne against Geelong. The winner was going to be declared the VFA champions of that year. The last year there wasn't a grand final. And at the South Melbourne Cricket Ground, remembering the population of Melbourne was around 250,000, there was an estimated 45,000 people tried to get into the ground and forced their way in around that number, and another 30,000 outside the ground. So 75,000 out of 250,000 Melburnians, even though people came from Geelong, were there to watch the Pete Burns game. So club changes and champions have been happening since the game was formed back in the 1850s.
Do you ever buy into this analogy that us common folk talk about, in that they are, at the end of the day, doing a job, and if you were offered a job to go somewhere else for an extraordinary amount of money, that you would turn it down? I mean, why?
Well, it's spot on, Richie, because let's say you're allowed to work in the industry you're currently in at the moment with a limited number of suppliers until, how old are you now, mate?
29.
Right.
Yep.
So you got 6 more years max to do it, and then you're out.
That's it. That's it. Gone. So that's why, I mean, that's, I would, I know, I mean, I'm a big Hawthorn fan, and when Buddy left, it absolutely devastated me. I was a fanatic. And then you just sort of understand, you go, look, he's been offered an incredible, you'd be mad to turn down in any industry. So I just think that, you know, it's sometimes they get lost in footy fans, that they are just doing their job.
It is wonderfully refreshing, though, tonight. We've had calls from supporters, non-Richmond supporters, saying it's great that he is staying. It's good.
Now, we need to go to the break. More calls on the other side of the break. But Aaron Moy is out of tonight's all-important clash between the Socceroos and Japan, arguably.
We've got your bet up as well.
Punt?
We've got your bet up on site.
After the news, after the ad break, the sports bet are willing to frame a market on any bet, and I asked for a price on the game not being completed because of a nuclear threat from North Korea. That's now up on the sports bet website. We'll give you that price when we return, but as we go to the break, exclusive audio. It was at lunch today that Aaron Moy fell ill, and this is how it happened. Secret audio from Japan, Aaron Moy out of tonight's clash with the Blue Samurai.
Concentrate, concentrate.
I want Goku! Fan Fugu-tastic.
Welcome back. Off the SMS, proof positive that autospell can ruin a communication. Hey, why can't the coaches stop players licking to no one in particular when we see uncontested marks? I think you meant kicking, not licking. Stop players licking.
As he licks to space.
Roko's just announced Dusty signed with the Tigers. Good on you, Rowan. Footyology.
Did he cash for comment and get him on Footyology, did he?
Well, Footyology will have its say on Sunday night, because despite no AFL football, there's plenty to talk about. But Sportsbet will put up a market if you suggest something occurring in tonight's game between the Socceroos and Japan. And I was very interested to know what price the Sportsbet marked the game actually not being completed and before 90 minutes, South Korea being subject to a nuclear attack.
Well, it's called BYO Socceroos, hashtag BYO Socceroos. So you jump on Twitter, or you just jump on the app. There's a little form.
I think this is called BYO Bomb Shelter, but...
So you've asked for it. You said that what was the chances if there was a nuke to fly over or something to fly over and cancel the game? It has, of course, happened in Japan this week. 201-1 that the game gets called off because of some type of threat.
All right.
Doesn't just have to be...
The issue, of course, being funny if your bet does prove correct... collecting.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a bet we can't lose.
No.
You
no,
win?
No.
We get...
No.
We.
Well, actually...
All right. This could end me up in... I could end up in prison for 20 years, but I could have $100 on it.
There's a long list of those things already that exist.
I could have $100 on it, then ring the stadium up.
Yep.
And my best Kim Jong-un.
Let's not encourage that.
Hello, this is Kim Jong-un. If you don't stop the game... have a release, the hounds. And then the game will be over. It's probably good for us because Aaron Moy will then get better.
I don't have the 20 grand's worth of long, long stint in jail.
And if you think that that wasn't an accurate Kim Jong-un, I take it from the version that South Park did of his father in Team USA, which was a very similar voice. Yes, Nigel.
Mark, there's 4 games of football on next week that we might quickly turn our attention to.
Well, I think we should. Early prognostications for the first week of the finals and also suggestions whether or not teams playing in those games are suited by the break. Game number one.
Giants most definitely are suited by the break. And I think in light of recent days, so are Adelaide, because Rory Sloane would not have played this
weekend. Isn't that interesting?
And now he may be a chance.
They go into this game basically... Now,
they've led the league.
Is this a second appendix they've lost in a month?
I was going to say, the Crows have led the league in a lot of statistical categories, including burst appendix.
Yeah, I mean, they are really running short of appendix or appendices. But at the moment, enough to get them over the line. And in fact, Eddie Betts' first game back from appendicitis was his best in the last month. So Sloan should be okay.
It's a little bit lighter.
My early tip in that is Adelaide. Market?
We do have market. Well, we did have market. I was too busy getting Europe. $2.55 for Sydney. Adelaide's been backed off the map, actually. Just having a look. 80% of the cash. $1.52. Punters have gone very sour on GWS in the premiership market and the last couple of weeks of the home and away season. They just weren't getting around them.
I'm reserving judgment on that game till I see teams. I tipped GWS last week and I...
Oh, so you brought up, let's have a look at four games, and now you're reserving judgment.
I'm
holding you over till after the news.
It wasn't responsible to give a tip on that game.
It's an appendectomy. I knew I'd get that name wrong. What price that I can muller every medical term between now and...
$1.01.
Yeah.
So that's the process when you have your appendix out.
Yeah, well, that's not when they put one in. That would be ridiculous.
What does the appendix do? What the appendix do?
It tells you what's coming up in the book. Doesn't every book have an appendix? Hey, Richard, can you hang around for a few more minutes?
Of course I can.
Because we've got three more games. We're going to wedge them in. Then AFLW, we're going to talk to a star turn, Sarah Hosking. And Troy Chaplin, my favourite. I'm going to ask him a question I've always wanted to know from Troy, and we'll find out after the news. Richie H from Sportsbet. Plenty of great insights. Always gamble responsibly, but Richie's advice can be used just to make yourself look smarter, I guess. He's stuck around. Nigel doesn't want to give us a tip in the GWS Adelaide game.
Yet.
Well, we all know that the teams come out next week. If you were forced to... You're not going to?
Oh, if you're going to force me... Well,
yes, you've just been forced.
I'll tip the Crows.
What's the current market, Richie?
$1.52 on offer for the Crows. $2.55 with GWS. A significant majority of cash going toward Adelaide.
It's great news tonight for Richmond with Dustin Martin... all but guaranteed to be at the club for his career. A 7-year deal worth what it is worth. Keeping him there till the 33 at least. It means that the Tigers are upbeat. But by this time next week, the Cats could be upbeat, announcing that Selwood's back in the team and they're firing on all cylinders. So what's the price as we sit here tonight with Richmond supporters cock-a-hoop?
Yeah, we've got Geelong $1.74. Of course, they've won the last 13 straight against Richmond. Richmond flying a couple of weeks ago, couldn't get the jobs done. It was down, though, down the freeway in Geelong. Richmond $2.10. 50-50 cash, though, so we've taken almost the exact same amount on both sides, Finey.
The game, of course, is at the MCG on Friday night, Thursday night for the first game, and, you know, I think Richmond are a real chance because they play the MCG so well, but again, that confidence that they're exuding at the MCG will be different in a final, and we know the pressure that has come to bear on the Tigers. Not having won a final under Damien Hardwick, wouldn't it be great with this double chance to put that one to bed very early? Get that monkey off their back week one of the finals and anything could happen. Nigel, I know that you're going to wait for the teams, but do you give Richmond a chance?
Yeah, I'm on the bandwagon to an extent and I'm a little bit emboldened by round 21 because they went to Geelong, lost by 14 points. I know... Geelong had some key outs in that game, but I think that was enough of a performance to suggest that Richmond can right some of the things they didn't do right in that match. And as said, finally, that slight advantage being back at the MCG is in their favour.
Yeah, they enjoy the deep pockets and the wide wings. They're a pacey team and they're backing each other's foot skills now. So what last year was a conservative nudging of the ball around the back line is now being used to great effect to create space and run. They're kicking to a man, but this time with purpose. Last year it was all possession-based. This time it's meterage-based. It's very different, isn't it?
Well, they've lost two games for the year the MCG. They lost to Sydney, and they lost. And they had Fremantle.
Sydney on the, they had Sydney on the ropes. So and they and Fremantle for three quarters had them, and both of those games, obviously Mundy kicked the winning goal, and Sydney didn't win that until the shadows of the post either.
So record there's been good, and it's not as if they've all been hammerings. They've had some games that have been reasonably tight, which again, I know finals pressure will add an extra layer to that, but it says they've been able at the venue to stick in games and grind it out.
Can a team with three quarters of one ruckman win a final?
Undoubtedly.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm
not saying undoubtedly. We'll wait and see.
Bulldogs last year recognised ruckman.
But they had the height. I understand recognised ruckman. That's a fair point. But they still had the height to cover it. Tom Boyd is not Sean Grigg. I mean, Tom Boyd's not Nankervis. Tom Boyd's taller than whatever Richmond are throwing up in the ruck. I mean, they really are conceding metres from most ruck contests. And it's going to be interesting because Zach Smith, you know what? Zach Smith has his limitations, but he also has scope against opponents that give him a yard and he can punish his Zach Smith.
So what's your concern then from a Richmond point of view in regards to that height? First use of the footy, clearances. I think so long as Nankervis is at the contest and giving a contest, what is underneath him is more than enough to cover for hit out to advantage stuff.
At its worst is what happened against St Kilda at Etihad Stadium. They were behind on the scoreboard, and when the ball went back to the centre after a St Kilda goal, Billy Longa basically had an option, and the option was to either try to tap to advantage, which he was doing pretty well. A couple of times he just knocked it out of the square. Now, that might not be as easy against Nankervis, but against Sean Grigg, there's going to be 5 minutes every quarter that Zach Smith or Wiley Buzzer, if he plays. I like Buzzer in the ruck, by the way. Meterage in finals, you only need to look at Brisbane's three premierships to know how important it is.
Big blokes have an added layer of importance on them. Just on that game last weekend, statistically, St Kilda were plus 16 in hitouts, plus 10 in clearances, but minus 40-odd on the scoreboard.
Yeah, as I said, but you know, it can work the other way. When it happened at Etihad Stadium, similar sort of numbers, and then it becomes, you know, there was a point in that game where Richmond were not only behind on the scoreboard, but they were starting metres behind. The game was almost starting on the St Kilda half forward line in that second quarter because Longa just decided to bang it forward. You don't want that happening in a final because, as I said, Keating showed for Brisbane that it can be very valuable. Let's run through those couple of games remaining with the prices for the first of the Saturday games, Swans versus the Bombers at the SCG.
Well, no surprise here. Sydney, which I think this is, even though they're short, is my absolute bet of the round because for me it's a free 20% on your investment. $1.20 for Sydney, $4.60 for Essendon. We can hardly take a cent on them. They're not given a sniff. Do you give them a sniff?
Yeah, I saw them there earlier this year. It's not the team the Swans would have wanted to play first week in the finals because there's good Essendon and bad Essendon. Good Essendon's pretty good, I reckon.
Yeah, I think, again, they would take enormous belief and confidence out of that performance, despite the fact they ultimately came away empty-handed. It's not a game they should have lost. Yes, Sydney have mustered enormous momentum since, but Essendon go there with a reasonable chance, and I think they'll like what they can bring to the table. Concern for me, as we've spoken about, though, is they've lost Fantasia, whether they get him back or not, and Green.
And they don't want to lose Hooker.
Rob them of some real speed in the front half.
And they travel horrendously. They've lost 16 of the last 18 interstate.
What is the Hooker situation?
Don't know, but he missed with a calf.
Yeah,
I think it was a back spasm. So
yep.
Whether he's right to go or not, you imagine with the break, they're going to be 13 days between games. You'd imagine he'd be right. And they're probably admittedly taking or being hyper-cautious given the position they were in on Sunday.
Hooker on Carlo. I'm just making an observation when I drove to work. Now, the final game for discussion, Port Adelaide versus West Coast.
Save it for 10 past 10 tonight.
Yeah, well, you don't have to explain it.
It just filtered its way down to the earlier slot, hasn't it, tonight?
I was just thinking about Jake Carlisle's season and how he would have matched up on Cale Hooker. Anybody who thinks anything other than that, you're your worst enemy. Port Adelaide, West Coast. I give West Coast a little chance in this. They play well at Adelaide Oval.
So do I. And the man who's normally here on a Thursday has been their biggest backer the last couple of weeks. He keeps getting... He got into
and
GWS.
Loves him. Yeah, yeah.
He tipped him last week against the Crow. And I actually don't mind them here. They travel all right to Adelaide. $2.75 for West Coast. Port Adelaide, they do have the bigger chunk of the share of the cash from the punters at $1.46.
10-point win back in round 7 for the Eagles. Admittedly... Port didn't kick that well that night, 27 scoring shots to 22. But, yeah, I think the Eagles can go in with, again, a bit of confidence, off the back of what they did in the last round.
I reckon they're a match-up team, West Coast and Port, and they just are going to have an arm wrestle.
No discounting. This is the thing I underrated about West Coast on Sunday, despite the fact no Walker and Talia for the Crows. But champions like Mitchell and Pritis, knowing this is a case of my next four quarters could be it. I'm going to put it all on the line, and they played like that on Sunday.
Did you
and
see Mitchell? Mitchell was beautiful. He had, in phone box type space, his disposal, 80%, right, he was 80% effective. Now, that's not a great stat, because you can kick it to a contest and be considered an effective disposal. Most of those hit his player on the emblem. I mean, he was playing in the dying minutes of his career, and he wanted a final. And believe me, he'll want another final. Yeah, that's a great observation. Richie, I want to thank you for dropping in.
It's always a pleasure. Looking forward to it. Just a bit of fun today, wasn't it? It was just
200
change of pace.
200-1, end of the world. But
still got 12 minutes to get on Finey's Armageddon bet at Sportsbet on the Socceroos. That's, of course, if the Socceroos match gets called off because a nuke missile travels over the stadium.
And don't worry about Aaron Moy ill. Kim Jong-il, well, his son, he could be the decider in this game. 200-1. Bet responsibly, which means leave that one alone. Richie,
I
reckon we'll catch up next Wednesday.
Look forward to it.
We'll sort that one out. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got a couple of great guests. It's Sarah Hosking from AFLW, ahead of Victoria's game against the Allies, and Troy Chaplin. He's a Victorian. Don't worry about that. He's not putting on that All-Stars jumper for love nor money in the EJ Witten game tomorrow night.